so I do vote for him.
In fact, he's going to give us a raise, isn't he, Bonnie?
He is?
I forgot for a moment.
Yep. Since January of 71, I think, or 70, they stopped cigar advertising on TV.
Turn me the beer, will you? Oh, right, Fred. Excuse us, sir.
Oh.
They're mind readers. That's what they are. Women are all mind readers. Right out of left field. Did you get tired today? Oh, how close can you get? Hey, how come you said we were going to get a raise, Fred?
I had to say something, didn't I?
I haven't even got a job and I'm supposed to bring home a raise. Huh.
Come on, relax. You'll work it out.
Sounds like everything in a very good
shot. But a guy's due for a beer.
That's a good point.
Bob, you'll get those executive jobs tomorrow.
Do they just not show this episode anymore?
This was done for a small audience. Advertisers and retailers for, you know, liquor stores or whatever. This was industrial musical or industrial related. I'll mention more about that in just a moment.
No, I
don't.
Is he there, Stringer?
Yeah, no.
Well, that's it, gentlemen. I'm afraid you qualify for only gravel pit engineering. If you want my advice, you'd better get back on it.
Hey, what are we going to do, Fred?
Don't worry, Bond. Come on.
Okay, yeah, just to explain, there's a whole genre of, like, films or musicals or whatever that were done for... Oh, you found a way to dim it slightly. Great, thank you. That were done for, like, something like, a convention, you know, of people selling beer or network TV executives or whatever. And they made that just for this. This was not intended for a general audience. There was something else that Hanna-Barbera did in the 60s where there was someone named something like Senator Mr. O'Gulliver or something that had a guy wash up on an island and it's all anthro. Everyone is anthro. This is on archive.org. So they're all anthro animals. And it was done by the U.S. Commerce Department, but it was not for a strict audience. And there were like musicals put on. There's a movie called Bathtubs Over Broadway all about, you know, things like Shell. I'm sorry, what was it? Exxon doing Up Came Oil. You had My Bathroom is a Special Kind of Place. And it's just, like I say, it was industrial. It was for a certain audience. And they would put on a musical. They would have, there's one from McDonald's where they took Back in the USSR. And I mean, I'll actually show it. It's not a cartoon, but it's something that was done for a specialized audience. And again, it's called Industrial Musical. So let me see, McDonald's. Rolling along. So just to show you. I'm typing bad. I'm sorry. Wait a minute.
Is this the stuff that'll get him canceled today?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, no, okay. Nice. Wait a minute. No, that's not it.
Shortly after man learned.
Okay. McDonald's. Oh. Okay. Let me get back to this. McDonald's. You gotta keep. Rolling along. Yeah, okay. So this was an industrial musical. If you were a McDonald's operator, you would go to Hawaii and see this on stage, and then they would hand you a record album on the way out, which you probably threw in the trash. So this was not a cartoon, but you'll recognize the song. Oh, you'll recognize the... I guess they had to pay royalties to the Beatles for this.
Everything is changing in the world today. Stand and steal is mighty straight. If you run your business in the same old way, don't you know it's time for a change? You gotta keep rolling along.
Back in the USSR, of course. So again, again, like I say, you would be working for McDonald's and you'd go to this convention, they'd have the musical, you'd get the record out which you threw away, and for the most part, a lot of the records were thrown away, but some people collect them, mm-hmm. and there was a guy named Steve Young who worked as a writer for something called the David Letterman Show, mm-hmm. and they would have Dave's record collection, and it was all stuff like this, mm-hmm. and so there's a movie called Bathtubs Over Broadway, all about this sort of thing. So what I was showing you was something done by Hanna-Barbera for Anheuser-Busch, for Busch Bavarian Beer, okay? And it was not meant for a general audience, but it was just one of these little oddball type things I've stumbled across. Okay, it's almost 4:30, so I'm going to introduce myself. Some of you know me already. My name is Anthra Kuhn, Bob Nelson. I am 61 years old. I've been going to cons since 97. The first was Albany AnthroCon 1997. So I've been doing a lot of that. And in the past 2 or 3 years, all the conventions I normally go to, I've been doing this panel. Classic cartoons. It can be anything as recent as what just came out last week, and you might consider it a classic. But mostly it's 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, or so on. Maybe some other more recent things. And then there's oddball things. There's such things as the worst cartoons ever made. Jerry Beck goes is this a great cartoon expert. You might have seen on some box sets. He does some commentary. He has this thing called The Worst Cartoons Ever Made that he shows at San Diego Comic-Con, mm-hmm. which has like 200,000 people or something like that, mm-hmm. and it's a riot. And he did something called a cartoon dump along with TV's Frank from Mystery Science Theater. Mm-hmm. So it's just great stuff that's out there that was like really, really bad. I mean, in fact, I'll show you an example of that in a moment. But what I'm going to do is, first I'm going to show you, this is a compilation of some ads. Again, some of these have been shown before, you may have seen them before, but I've got some other new ones. So here's some ads, maybe 5 minutes worth. You might get a kick out of some of these.
Billy, there's a new drink
Yeah, Mel Blanc and all that. where the Drano is.
What's up, Doc?
New Bugs Bunny and Val's Drink Mix.
With 100% NutraSweet and 100% vitamin C.
And plenty of DEET.
This, they had to get the rights for all these characters. This is for MetLife.
Not just the most fortunate. Everyone.
Oh, this must have been when they had contract with Cartoon Network.
I can do this.
Yeah, could have been. Okay, Tony the Tiger, a lot of us know him. He's still around somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I have the ad, but there's ads with Tony Jr. and the little baby, Antoinette. I think there's a Mrs. Tony, and then there's Tony's mother. But, you know, different ads have had that. In 1974, I was 12 years old. It was the year of the tiger. So if you were born in 62, you were also born in the year of the tiger. 62.
Dr. Kellogg Sugar Boston Flakes, that's the one. Its secrets hosted in Boston and eight essential vitamins and iron make for nutrition that tastes
good. Cool
discussion. I'll let you know when it's the year of the elephant.
Okay, Benny, remember the plan.
This has most of the original voices.
Good morning. Can I help?
You can indeed, my dear. I was hoping to borrow you from a little moolah.
Moolah?
I need to borrow a little money for a new home.
Right. Should we take a seat?
Benny, you're up. My previous home has been destroyed, carried away by the trash men on the orders of Officer Dibble, and callously crushed.
Oh, that's awful. The poor thing.
I love that old home. Please help me buy a new one. Just think of the children.
No problem.
Really? No problem. I'm Benny. Enough with the violin.
Okay, TC.
Now then, let's get down to business.
Okay. Shall we start with your name?
Tap Cat! Why, Officer Dibble, welcome to my humble abode. Won't you come in? Me and the boys are having a pool game in the library.
He's an artist.
Okay, a couple ads for Ham's Beer. This one, it almost sounds like they're using the bass line from These Boots Are Made for Walking. and the horns from her battle with the Tijuana Brass. You're going to meet the Hams Bear.
There's just one way to tell a great beer from an ordinary beer. Taste, and nothing beats the taste of a Hams Going Down.
Raccoons, I had to include.
Have a Hams.
Just one more. And drinks all around, but nothing beats the taste of a Hams Going Down.
This is ready to swap.
Hams, real draft. Why settle for
this? This is the season.
This next one has Mike Farrell, B.J. Honeycutt of MASH, before he was B.J. Honeycutt. You'll see him in this.
From the land of sky blue waters comes the water best for brewing. Hams, the beer refreshing.
Mike Farrell. Late 60s, early 70s. Maybe early 70s, I can't tell.
Powers.
Well, he's telling him the secret, see? Mike Farrell has a bear telling him the secret. The Hams Bear.
Glass after glass, round after round.
Oh, editing.
Yep.
Yeah. He's going to ruin the business.
Emergency. Buy a round of Hams.
There's one more Hams here. Oh, yeah, the railroad or something. Yeah. Or Wild West.
Glass after glass after glass. Hams, the beer that's brewed with water best for brewing. Tastes best, refreshes you best. The one right beer for those who want another. Tastes so right, it bears repeating.
More raccoons. No wonder I love these ads. Oh, yeah. Well, kids love cartoons. They're too young to drink.
Don't.
Hams taste so right, it's worth repeating. It bears repeating.
Starting to see a
cool lady. Oh, this, I know. Here's another one. It's from out of Minnesota.
Want another Hams? Have another. It's brewed with water best for brewing. So light on your face, it keeps on refreshing you.
Is it actually what?
Was that beer actually even good?
Yeah, I'll tell you. I actually had some last year. Well, for $4 it was good. Okay, hold on.
For $4.
Okay, now what? Now watch this. Watch this part. Yeah, very good.
Want to stay refreshed? Fight for Hams.
I never had one, and I looked up online. The nearest place I've had it was a liquor store in Meadville, Pennsylvania, which is north of Pittsburgh. So I go to Anthrocon, then I go north, and I go to the liquor store, and I said, I saw online you have a six-pack of 16-ounce cans of Hams. Yes, sir, that will be $4. I don't know if I can afford that. And it was not bad. I actually took it back to the motel and everything, and it was okay. Oh, yeah, this is Nichols and May, famous comedy duo from the 60s.
Hi, neighbor.
Yes?
I'd like a bottle of Gansett for myself and a bottle of Narragansett lager beer for my horse.
Oh, I thought that was a horse. You'll have to get that horse out of here.
I just want a bottle of Gansett for him.
No, I'm sorry. We don't allow horses in here in the first place, and we don't serve beer to horses in the second place. And just get your horse out, please.
He's got to have a bottle of Gansett. It gives you that straight from the barrel taste and bottle can on tap.
No, No.
You mean you don't serve horses?
There's a big sign at the bar. We do not serve beer to horses.
Well, can't you make an exception this once? My horse is parched, lady.
Do not make exceptions. We do not serve beer to horses. We just won't do it.
Not even Gansett, lady.
No.
He really craves Narragansett.
No, sir. If we serve beer to your horse, pretty soon every horse in the neighborhood will be coming and asking for Gansett. Now, just get your horse out of here.
I'm awful sorry, Seymour.
Oh, never mind, Hank. I'm driving anyway.
Good idea. Designated driver. Wasn't there a song, Beer for My Horses?
Yes.
Whiskey for My Men, Beer for My Horses. Okay. Let's go to Baltimore. Anyone here from Baltimore? This is Natty Bo, National Bohemian. And I think there's one more ad after this, which is for Pennsylvania tourism, with a bear. Yeah.
Happy occasions call for quality national beer. Quality that demands the finest grain, the purest water, the utmost patience in brewing and aging. You can tell by the taste. Light, refreshing, national beer.
Hey, this winter, let's go to Pennsylvania. All right, I got a few more things to show, but let me mention, now I already mentioned I'm like 61 years old. I grew up with stuff on TV and the movies and things like that. Commercials, movies, TV shows, whatever, comic books. And it's fascinating, and it got us into furry when you think about it. Anthro-animal characters, whether they wore clothes or some clothes or no clothes, working on twos, walking on fours, whatever, and all the things like Robin Hood and things like that, we all grew up with that. And it did get us into furry, and we have our own little species and everything. We've created our own characters and things like that, and we still see movies that are out there now, movies and TV shows. I saw Zootopia, and I have Disney Plus, so I saw Zootopia Plus, and I have done panels on Zootopia at three conventions. I did it at Anthro New England, for Apocalypse, and AnthroCon. So I've done that, and I've done this panel, like I say, at some other conventions as well. So I was glad that they put that up, and of course Zootopia 2 is on the way. And there have been some other movies in recent years as well. Secret Life of Pets, Tom and Jerry. There was that thing on Disney Plus, they're Turning Red, right? Mm-hmm. You had that. You had the Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers movie that came out.
The Bad Guys.
I've got The Bad Guys. I've got that on video. There was one last year that I got on video called Paws of Fury, The Legend of Hank. It's based on Blazing Saddles. It has Mel Brooks in it. He's one of the characters. Also, one of the characters is this kind of fat cat played by George Takei. Oh, my. So he's in it. And again, it is based on Blazing Saddles. And it pokes fun. This is what sold the movie to me. It pokes fun at the profanity used by Samuel L. Jackson. He goes, because it's all cats and dogs and everything, mostly cats. What the mother, father, cocker spaniel is going on here? I said, I've got to see this movie. So it was pretty good. It kind of flew under the radar. So you have that. You have other movies coming out and everything. So it's great. You're going to go to the theater, catch these movies. You got TV shows. Back in the old days, you only had a certain amount of channels. And if you went to a furry convention, you went to the Adams Mark in Philly, and you went all the way up to the top floor where they had a video room. Or they might have a panel with Matt McCullough and furry ads. You didn't have YouTube yet. You know, so it's just kind of funny, but this is a lot of stuff I grew up with, and you grew up with stuff too. I'm going to be showing a Dudley Do Right cartoon that was kind of lost because the National Forest Service objected to the fact that they were poking fun at Smokey the Bear. This actually did get reissued finally. Now, I showed this at A&E, and people loved it. Okay, this is Dudley Do Right, not the movie with Brendan Fraser or whatever it was, but this is good. This is great writing.
And now,
for the uninformed, here's the biggest informer of them all, Mr. Know-It-All.
Greetings, brain builder uppers. Today's subject is swimming can be fun and wet. Now, in order to swim, one must have a pool. And in order to have a pool, one must have a hole.
This is the part before it, actually.
After lining the hole with cement, fill it with H2O's, which is salt water. We are now ready for our fun. There are many ways of entering the pool, but the best way is via the diving board. Of course, it does help if you put the board over the pool. Mm. Once in the water, there are many things you can do, like swimming. Now, for all you neophytes, those are swimmers made out of rubber, it is a good idea to start with the dog paddle. Chewed the paddle up a little, didn't you? The second most widely used stroke is the butterfly. Before entering the water, wave the arms like a butterfly.
I guess the version I downloaded had this on it. I had another version that didn't, but whatever.
Fire-winged goofers. Put me down.
A talking antlered fire-winged goofers.
Oh, well. Even if you can't swim, just get yourself an old inner tube, put it around your middle, and jump in.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All. Mr. Know-It-All?
Nope. Okay, so this should be it. Well,
now,
after this.
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
But that trick never worked.
This time for sure.
Lion?
Presto!
Oh,
well,
okay.
I'm getting close.
And now it's time for another special feature.
Ah, here it is. Yeah. Hans Conried as Snivy Whiplash. June Foray.
The Canadian woods, full of trees.
Phil Scott.
A major source of income for both Canada and Joyce Kilmer. Also, dogs, best friend. The tallest trees in Canada were to be found on Mount Up, a fir-clad pinnacle that stretched itself skyward 63 feet below sea level. Just down from Mount Up was a vast sprawling lumber camp consisting of 400 lumberjacks and a jackknife. You are now looking at Red Wood, Canada's wealthiest woodman who spares no tree in supplying the demands of a wood-hungry world.
Sicily is running low on toothpicks. We gotta get out 5 million by sundown. To the forest, man!
That call sent every man to the tree of his choice. Up they went, but before they could begin cutting, a very strange thing happened.
Do you smell anything, boss?
Just a little wood smoke. The cook must be...
And I was showing this while those wildfires were going on. We were getting the smoke in Pittsburgh, too.
There's a firebug.
Yeah, perfect timing.
Not a firebug, a fire bear. It was Stokey, who for years had been helping to prevent forest fires. He wasn't the same Stokey now, mainly because he was under the hypnotic influence of that foul ball of the Great Northwest, Snidely Whiplash. Why are you doing this, Mr. Whiplash?
How else can you barbecue hot dogs? Look at my eyes there. Now, go light a fire somewhere.
Now, when Canada has a problem, the mounted police have a problem. And their problem is done. Inspiration for the famous folk song, Why Don't You Do Right?
Why don't you do right?
Faithful steed, we must reach Mount Up before sundown.
2 weeks later, Dudley and Redwood discussed the problem out in the open, as there was no place else to discuss it.
What seems to be here? It's Stokey the bear. He's gone ape.
Ooh, that rat. Give me a description of him.
Well, weighs about 700 pounds, fur coat, cinnamon color, wears a Mountie hat.
That's not very much to go on. Anything else?
He's a bear.
Dudley took up Stokey's trail, which was still hot. Day after day, the relentless pursuit wore on. Although there was no sign of his quarry, Dudley was getting warmer all the time until finally the trail took him into Quebec.
Stokey the bear? No, I haven't seen him.
Well, I have reason to believe he is in your midst.
I'll check on him. Fireman! Fireman!
Down the firehouse hole they slid. Unfortunately, whoever designed this firehouse did a poor job as there was a hole on the ground floor. Assembly was held in the basement.
All right, constable, look him over.
Dudley went down the line carefully scrutinizing each and every man. It was then when he came to the fifth man in line, he stopped still in his tracks.
This man, This man didn't shave this morning.
And on he went, continuing his search. Looks like you were wrong, Constable. Dudley was about to agree when suddenly... A three-alarm fire broke out somewhere in the city. Like the noble force they are, the firemen responded instantly. Off they roared at 90 miles an hour, only to realize that the three-alarm fire had broken out not in the city, but in their firehouse. The chief and his men fought desperately to control the raging fire. Each man did his job and did it well. All but one, who was nonchalantly toasting marshmallows.
Chief, that man is shirking his duty.
You mean Stokey, the new man?
Stokey?
The chase was on. But before our hero could grasp the elusive bear, he shot up the fire pole and disappeared. By now the fire was hopelessly out of control and the fighters joined the spectators. Then a gasp came from the crowd as a lone bear was seen standing on the roof, flames licking his feet.
It is he, and I must save him.
Unmindful of the danger, Dudley rushed into the burning building and fought his way to the roof. The chief also sprang into action and ordered his men to bring out the safety net. Unfortunately, the crew grabbed a hula hoop by mistake and... The bear landed on Dudley. Dudley landed on his head. 2 weeks later, at Redwood's logging camp...
Tell me, Inspector, whatever happened to Constable Do-Right and Stokey the Bear?
Well, I was all for putting Stokey in the poker. But Do-Right felt a change of scenery and some home cooking would do him more good, so he took him to stay with some friends of his in Chicago.
Oh, no!
Now, remember, Mrs. O'Leary, we'll blame it all on the cow.
All right, and now let's meet a couple of those voices. Now, by the way, Paul Frees was the inspector there and everything. He was, he was Snidely Whiplash. Who am I thinking of? Yeah, Boris Badenoff on the Beatles cartoon. He was both John and George and so on. He did so many different things. But let's briefly meet Bill Scott and June Foray.
We gotta fight him to the end before we go through.
Tonight, a new thing, Rocky.
What's that?
It is the end. The voices of Rocky and Bullwinkle, as well as a host of other characters, belong to June Foray and Bill Scott.
Why didn't you tell me before?
I didn't think you'd believe me.
I don't, but it sure helps the plot.
People talk to each other and say, well, I'm a brain surgeon, I'm an attorney, I'm a public relations man, I'm Bullwinkle Moose.
You're Bullwinkle Moose! My God!
That's what happens. I grew up with you, and that's what happens. Why wouldn't you be proud to say that when everybody, instead of having a group of strangers or acquaintances, you were suddenly among old friends? Good memories are feelings brought out by old friends. And when you're introduced to Bill and June, you're among the best memories of cartoons past.
Cookies won't remember again.
He's Mr. Peabody.
Sherman, and at the Wayback Talk, it would tell you that it's the Wayback.
This man, this dog, this beagle, is really a kind of a Clifton Webb. Very clipped in his speech, and everything very forward in the mouth. And so that's where the Mr. Peabody voice came from.
Rocky's an all-American Boy Scout. And Natasha's a broken spy. We won't say Russian spy, you know, that's...
Chinchy at the time.
Yeah, it still is.
Yeah. Bullwinkle, of course, would be my favorite. I guess in large part because that's kind of a character that I would really like to be like. Somebody...
He was on Gummy Bears with one of the characters.
Says outrageous things, you know, just react like this. But it's so dumb, you really can't take him. You really can't take umbrage at what he says or what he does, because after all, he's a moose. What do you expect from a moose?
And just where do we find one, man?
On the moon. Or in spaceships, or... Yeah, funny how that works out.
This is WBCN Boston.
Hello, as part of our All Bronze program, it's Heaven's on Fire featuring Kiss.
Yes, and this is from the latest Kiss album, Animalize!
On WBCN.
On WBCN!
That's what he said. Promoting an appearance in a recent New England animation festival was made simple. Just place Bill and June in front of any microphone, and their characters seem to unfold from the past.
Oh, well, Mary's so delightful and so true and so lovely. And she's just in love with horse and Dudley.
You really can't say a girl is quite all there who would prefer a horse over Dudley Do-Right.
Nobody I know starts out, it's a great career, but nobody I know starts out going,
I'm gonna grow up and I'm gonna be a good cartoon voice, you know. How'd you do it?
I was pushed into it, my friend. Didn't intend to go there at all.
Well, I was a dramatic actress. I started in radio when I was 12 years old.
I was writing a thing, and I had no idea about acting in it at all. Jay starts handing out the parts, and I said, who's going to do Blue Winkle? He said, oh, I thought you were. So that is how I was assigned, and that's the hard work I did to be cast as Blue Winkle Moose.
One hat!
I think it's 7.5.
And we're just paying respect to those people who gave us so much fun when we were kids. They were true fun, not fake fun. True fun.
If, just like in the end of an episode of Rocking Bullwinkle, you had to have one of those double titles for your cartoon life that has just passed, what would that title be?
All Quiet on the Western Front, or We'll Be Back.
This was the late 80s, and sadly, Bill Scott passed away about a year or two after this. He had a bunch of plans, they wanted to do stuff, but he did pass on. That was very sad. Okay, so I do have other clips later, but I want to ask you folks, when you grew up, what type of cartoon did you like best? The comedy, science fiction, adventure, or whatever? Maybe certain cartoons? What were some of your favorites growing up? Anyone?
Ed, Edd n Eddy.
Comedy.
Which one? Ed, Edd n Eddy, okay, right. Comedy?
Cat Dog,
yep.
Nicktoons,
yep.
Rocko's Modern Life.
Yeah. Rocko's Modern Life,
Bugs
yeah.
Bugs and Daffy Show.
Bugs and Daffy, yeah.
Oh, Popeye.
Popeye. So many great Looney Tunes over the years, yep.
Yeah. I was a child in the 80s, so my favorite cartoons were toy commercials.
Toy commercials. Yeah, I was just thinking about all the stuff like Space Jam and everything. I think that came out of because they were doing commercials for McDonald's and everything with Michael Jordan and Bugs Bunny and everything. And they said, let's make a whole movie about it. Then again, they made a TV series about the Geico caveman, too, so you never know. But okay, anything else? Favorite types or favorite cartoons?
Classic MGM.
Classic M what? MGM?
MGM? Yeah.
MGM?
Yeah.
Of course, you know, they had a couple guys named Bill Hanna and Joe Barbera. Tom and Jerry, of course, they started their own studio and everything, but that's where they started.
The
Boondocks. The Boondocks, yeah. What was that guy's name that did that again?
Aaron Magruder,
yeah, that's right. Was that on, like, USA or something, or?
What
network was that on?
Oh, Carson, it was on Adult Swim.
Oh, Adult Swim, yeah. Go ahead.
Also, Space Ghost.
Space Ghost, yeah. They brought that back to make it into a talk show. Yeah. They had that whole thing, yeah.
The Brack Show.
The Brack Show, yeah. Well, that part or something, yeah.
Harvey
Birdman, Attorney at Law. Yeah, that was something. I never really watched the original stuff from the 60s, but they brought that character back and everything. Now, one thing, they make a lot of movies bringing back the old times, and they don't always work. Now, I have yet to see Yogi Bear with Dan Aykroyd. I've heard bad things about it. But someone like Jerry Beck will come along and say, but in a way it's good, because when they do the movie, they'll go back and clean up the old shows and reissue them in a nice DVD set, although DVDs are kind of on the way out. People are streaming. And you can buy that. Now, I got a bunch of DVD sets home. I've got a lot of Hanna-Barbera stuff. I've got a bunch of Family Guy and things like that. And it's always great to watch. There was a show back in the early 70s called The Dog Father from DePatie Freleng. They did The Pink Panther and things like that. And obviously, this was just after Marlon Brando and the Godfather and everything. So the whole spoof of the mob. And of course, later on, you would have Mr. Big on Zootopia and things like that. And you'd have, what was that Bugs Bunny cartoon? Shut up. Oh, if you say, oh, shut up. Shut up, shutting up. So you had that whole sort of thing. So they would revive old shows, or, you know, old movies. I mean, for a while, Hanna-Barbera was doing stuff with the Three Stooges, because a guy named Norman Maurer married Mo Howard's daughter and was doing all the merchandising and everything. So first of all, back in the 60s, you had the Three Stooges cartoon series. But later on, you had the Robotic Stooges. They were robots or something. And then there's like another show beyond that or something, trying to bring them back. And they had like a Jerry Lewis show. They had an Abacus. They had different things where they were doing that and bring back the old days. But it's just, yeah, there's so much stuff. So once in a while, there were plans in the works for a Jetsons movie. Didn't happen. I heard they wanted to do a Hong Kong Fooey movie. I don't know about the status of that. They wanted to do one with the Pink Panther where it would be a live action and the Pink Panther would be cartoon. It's like that Tom and Jerry one that came out a couple years ago.
I thought
there was one moment. Someone is walking. It's a real life person and they're walking a cartoon dog. It was kind of interesting. So they do that sort of thing. And that reminds me, by the way, talking about live action and animation, Roger Rabbit, 1988. That was so great. And they never got to really do anything like that again because they were all fighting with each other like, oh, you won't. I don't want to do it that way. I don't want to do it that way. I own the rights to this. I run the rights to this. Everything. But they managed to get some of the people like Mel Blanc doing the voices while they were still around. You know, and but it was just a great concept, the idea of Toontown, and then having the live action and animation mix, which you saw on those commercials. You saw Top Cat and his gang there, you know, trying to get a house loan or something over in, I don't know if that's Scotland or Canada or something like that. Okay, now let's, this is a bit of classic theme songs and stuff. Let me see, I think it's this one here. Theme songs, okay, and cartoon music a little bit. Chattanooga Cats, late 60s, Hanna-Barbera. ABC. Children on the playground, watching booty go round and round. All the prospering lovers at the fiddling. Merry go round, merry go round, merry go round. How can you tell a carousel? What can I say? I guess this was on Boomerang, but my cable system doesn't have Boomerang, I don't think. Here's a classic right here. And like I say, Bill Scott does do one of the voices, as does June Foray. Lorenzo Music did Garfield. Yep. Yep. Oh, yeah. Some of these are kind of loud. I may have to watch the volume. All right, we remember these guys. Medley of some of their early hits. ABC, The Love You Save, Mama's Pearl. This is Rankin Bass out of England. Well, done in England for Rankin Bass.
Jackson 5.
Yep, Jackson 5. And they also had the Osmonds. I can't remember if the Osmonds did this or not, but it might be. They were like back to back. Yeah. They did the original voices. It was the original voices of them, including Michael. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they were having number one hit after number one hit in the early 70s when I was like 8, 9 years old. They were huge. Yep. You didn't have MTV or whatever. You wanted music, you'd go to Saturday morning cartoons. I think the Osmonds are next. Yeah, this. Oh, I gotta turn the volume. Oh, sorry.
There we go.
I don't know why that was so. I think this song was written for the Jackson 5 and they turned it down. They wanted to make it sound like a Jackson 5 song. One Bad Apple. Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. Very good, yeah. Donny Osmond is funky. Now, he and Marie had a talk show later on and everything, yeah. And a variety show too. Let's see what else is coming up here. Oh, this is a whole song, but this one's great. This is classic stuff. This is the whole song, actually. I'm a Warner Brothers fan. Great stuff. Roadrunner and Coyote. Do not repeat these stunts. They're dangerous.
You heard of Bo Diddley's on a Roadrunner?
Oh, yep, that goes back on, yeah. It's Predator and Prey. Tom and Jerry, Itchy and Scratchy. They fight and fight and fight and fight and fight. It's Predator and Prey.
Hello.
was. Yeah. Yeah, this is just a guy, he kind of extended the song, but this was the song they used back in the 70s for the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour, or for the Roadrunner part, yeah. Or I was just thinking, you know who did a cartoon song? Weird Al. George of the Jungle. Oh, as a matter of fact, Weird Al has a great theme song for Captain Underpants. Have you ever seen that video? And I saw the movie too, Captain Underpants. Great Weird Al song. I'm going to skip over a little bit because it's a little long. I want to get to some more stuff here. Okay, a few more things here. Okay, this is Furry Maid. This is Turo, otherwise known as Cerberus. Yeah, you know where the song came from. They played it at Anthrocon on the big screen, and we loved it. This goes back a while, too. Yeah, they showed it there, but they also showed it at Anthrocon. You'll see it at the very end. It does mention Megaplex, yeah. But they showed it at Anthrocon. That's what I saw, because I didn't go to Megaplex. Lots of slapstick in this one. The hurler. Macro furry ear. Megaplex 2013, is that what it said? 10 years ago. Some of the more recent things, by the way, furry related, furry made. The series, Star Fox, the animated series, episode 1, episode 2, I thought that was very done. And Lackadaisy, if you saw episode 1, that was really well done. Very good, yeah. So, okay. There might be a couple more things I was going to mention, but just to show you, like, you know, growing up we had TV commercials and everything. This was very old. This was Snap, Crackle, and Pop. Mm-hmm. So this goes back a ways.
There's something in
it. Yeah.
Snap, what a happy sound. Snap is the happiest sound I've found. You clap, rap, tap, slap, but snap makes the world go round. Snap, crackle, Rice Krispies. I say it's crackle, the crispy sound. You gotta have crackle or the clock's not wound. These cackle, feathers, tickle, bells, buckle, beats.
Someone was pointing out, when we were going up the the ads were an hour, a minute and a half long. They're kind of long.
The best is Mr. Les Potts around. You can't stop hopping. The cereal's popping. Pop makes the world go round. Snap, pop, pop, Rice Krispies. Let's go!
I can't hear too well, sorry.
What a happy sound. You gotta have a happy sound that bound. You begin to stop hopping. The cereal's popping. Snap, pop, pop makes the world go round.
Yeah, what were you saying? Sorry, I couldn't hear because of the...
Looked like they needed to add sugar and strawberries to make their food edible.
So oh, exactly right. There's a book out called Part of a Complete Breakfast that's all about the marketing of cereals and the characters and things like that. Like, you used to have... Sugar Bear was part of... they used to have three bears and they only made it one. But back in the 60s, there was a show called Lions to Lionhearted. That was for all the post cereals, and it was like one long commercial. You had someone for Alphabets, you had Rory Raccoon, who was for post Toasties, I think it was, and like I said, Sugar Bear, you know, kind of a cool bear or something like that. You had that, and so, but they took it off. They said it's one long commercial. You can't have that. It's, you know, detrimental or something like that. So let me see. Is there one more thing I want to do here?
What about Star Fox? Have you seen A Fox in Space?
Yeah. That's the one I'm talking about. A Fox in Space. This Matthew Gabbert, or whatever his name was, he did it on by himself. He had a couple of people helping him for the second one, but it was crowdfunded, and I saw when it first premiered, the second one, and it was really well done. So Star Fox, the animated series, episode one, episode two, that's what I was referring to. Okay, now this here was from a show in the 70s called The Oddball Couple. This was an officially licensed spoof. You know, they got authorization to spoof The Odd Couple. And you had the voice of Paul Winchell as Fleabag. And then the other guy was, the cat was done by Frank Nelson. He was the one that used to go, yes, you'll hear his voice. And this is also spoofing fun of the then popular TV show, Columbo, with Peter Falk. So this goes back to 75, I think. Why is that not working? That should work. Am I freezing up somehow? Let's try that one more time. I think
you don't get oil from grapes. You lie. You're making up this whole cotton picking story. Do you believe this nut? Really, Fleabag? Of course I believe it. It's his story after all. All right. Keep your mucklucks on.
Excuse me, sir. I hate like the dickens to bother you this way. This will only take a moment, sir. I really appreciate you talking to me, sir. Really.
Who is it, Fleabag? Just another nut.
Sir, I would like you to look at these photographs and tell me, have you ever seen this gentleman before in these disguises? Take your time, sir. His name is Quick and Fast Oakley, also known as Smarty Leonardi, also known as Gunter the Gaucho, and Boomer J.C. Rockbottom.
That's him! That's him! I can take you right to him! Follow me!
You gentlemen, I say you gentlemen will have to excuse me. I've got a heavy appointment in Sumora. Natives are getting mighty restless.
I'm sorry, Mr. Rockbottom.
Room one or room three? That's room three that's coming from.
It belongs to
the same one.
You know, sir, the gang can't wait to see you again. They really miss you, sir.
The boys really miss me, eh? Really, Fleabag. All that work for nothing. They just look at it. Whoa, it's not all for nothing. At least he left us a bag of money. Oh, no, this isn't worth a dime. It's play money.
Okay. Does anyone know what that noise is? What is the creak?
I've been hearing it all throughout the con this weekend.
Really? I don't know what that is. Okay. So, I might do the macro micro in a little bit, but hopefully we can ignore that noise. I was going to briefly show, this is something about one of the worst cartoons of all time, Super President, which was done by that same studio there, to Patty Freeling, and I get a kick out of when I play this, so hold on. Super President. And it's like a commercial, so to speak, for a book. So it's Jerry Beck, maybe? Jerry Beck. Beck.
Have you watched any of the Chicken Nugget shorts?
No, not quite.
They are very good.
Okay, so this...
Ice cream cake makes...
After the ad, I don't pay the $15 or whatever it is now.
Yay!
Okay.
I must change
to steal if I'm to hold those walls back.
Super President, a 1966 TV cartoon whose secret identity is, well, he's the president. We know who he is.
No.
I think it was just a big fiasco. Super President, you know, Super President. Well, would you think of a superhero as Super President? That's like saying Super Senator. I mean, it's stupid.
Anybody mind if I take my pill?
So here's one of the guys, Art Leonardi worked on it, and he said it was stupid, it was horrible. He worked on it, you know? Come on. So that was kind of interesting.
You didn't get the paycheck, you didn't care.
I know, yeah.
It's not the first time somebody should have done their own work.
Oh, exactly, right.
Fan Force that came out?
No.
Not too familiar with that.
Oh.
One of the things I've done, okay, in addition to being a furry and a fan of the whole classic cartoons, I've had a site on since 98 called shrinkingman.com. It's all about giant and tiny in all sorts of media, not necessarily dirty stuff, clean stuff, or whatever. But here's a little bit of the type of cartoons I'm talking about. Okay, that's
Pumpkin
Puss and Mouse Mouse from Hanna-Barbera.
Here to fraternity. Effing that don't take the rag off in the bush. I ain't no bigger than Mush Mouse.
Well, suffering catfish. How could this have possibly happened?
Sabrina and the Archies.
Oh, I think it's groovy. Now all
hot dogs.
The kids on the block will look up to me.
I think, yeah, this is an actual live movie. This is this incredible Shrinking Man. This is the stuff I get a kick out of, you know. You know, when you're 3 inches tall and the cat comes in, you know. Not bad for 1957. Oh, yeah. Inch High Private Eye. More Hanna-Barbera.
Braveheart, it is traditional for the dog to chase the cat, not vice versa.
We'll be there soon, Uncle Inch.
Soon may not be soon enough.
Hanna-Barbera, mysteries, dogs, teens, you know. Oh, that was very brief. That was Microscopic Milton. Yeah, this one we know.
Yay.
I would think there must be cops that are mice and rats in Little Rodentia, you know.
There
must be, yeah.
Wait for the real cop.
Let's get the volume up again.
It's in one of the Met
dialogues.
Yeah, at Anthrocon, I co-hosted the Zootopia panel and followed it up with the classic cartoon panel. And there's still a lot of demand for people to talk about Zootopia. We're looking forward to number two coming eventually.
Disney wants to make money again.
Oh, yeah. And as I was pointing out, we had a thing about asexuality in there. And I was saying, you know, how do we know that Nick and Judy aren't just platonically in love at the end of the movie? It doesn't mean they're going to get married or anything like that. They may just, like, work with each other. They like each other. You know, there's no guarantee if they're going to get married and have, you know, red bunnies and gray foxes or something, you know?
You're absolutely right, but they left it open just enough that...
Exactly.
The ace people can be happy and the horny
yeah.
folks can be happy, too. But eventually something's going to give them out of sight.
Oh my god, did you see those leopard print jackets?
Oh. Thanks to Disney or Zootopia Plus, all that makes more sense.
Yep.
Thank you.
Her friend was a joke.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to this, and I'm reading it's coming out March 4th. Then I look at certain theaters. It will premiere on Thursday, March 3rd. I look up a theater in Danvers, Massachusetts. Oh, good. So it was a 9 o'clock show, so I saw it the day before it premiered, okay? This was at a shopping mall around the corner from the Massachusetts Registry of Motor Vehicles. Mm. They're all sloths! And then I saw it again a couple weeks later. And all of a sudden, oh, it's coming out on video in June. June? Okay, now this is Dennis the Menace, one of the versions that they did over the years of Dennis the Menace.
Hey, guys, don't you remember me? I'm the kid who keeps taking away all those nasty traps Mr. Wilson sets for you.
That was just something I found. I have no idea what it is. It's just boom. That was just big pause or something. That was I did that picture. I took. Oh, this is Land of the Giants live action, late 60s. Irwin Allen. I love this sort of thing. And then I think that was the end of that. So I want to show you a couple superhero related things. The first one, hey Marvel, what can I say? This was a great theme song.
They reference this in
Spider-Man. Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size. Catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes a Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there goes a Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, by the street of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Welcome fame, he's ignored. Action is his reward to him. Life is a great big hang up. Wherever there's a hang up, you'll find a Spider-Man. Okay, and then this one here, if I've got the right one, yeah, this is The Mighty Heroes. Ralph Bakshi, before he did stuff like Fritz the Cat, yeah. The volume is not too big on this, sadly, but this is like the original broadcast or whatever. Maybe I'll sing along with it or something. Yeah, it was part of the Mighty Mouse show. So once again, Ralph Bakshi and everything. Da da. Da 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 da. So this would be a 67 or so on CBS. Diaper Man. Again, Ralph Bakshi, and later on he does adult stuff, but yeah. And the guitar is almost like the Batman theme. Dun 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 dun. It's kind of spoofing a little bit about Batman at the time. And then what was this? This is DePatty Freeding again. This was a show called Super Six. This was about 67 also. Gary Lewis and the Playboys. Jerry Lewis's son did this theme song. Super six. They did do a set of this recently on DVD. This was right around the same time that DePatty Freeling did Super President, and yet this looks much better than Super President. You saw the clip there, so that wasn't too bad. And I'm gonna just to play a little bit of a song. Sonny and Cher show used to have music videos. This was a song in the early 70s, and so you have them doing like a cover version. And a guy named John Wilson do these cartoons. They do stuff like Bad Dad Leroy Brown, Dark Lady, which was one of Cher's own hits. But it was just an interesting little thing that was CBS. You know, Wednesday night you'd watch the Sonny and Cher show, and they'd have a little video here. Yeah, again, this was a hit. Like, this was a song in the movie Billy Jack, if you ever saw that. This was the theme song they used for Billy Jack. Very well done. This is just something on TV. It's like, yeah, we'll do a cartoon for prime time or something.
Asking for the buried treasure, tons of gold for which they kill. Came an answer from the kingdom, with our brothers we will share all the secrets of our mountain, all the riches buried there.
Yeah. And again, this was done during Christmas time. She started singing It Came Upon Midnight Clear. Yeah, so there's a little bit of a medley on that. So there were some music videos that were animated like this on MTV and everything like that. Okay, it's not Christmas, so I'm going to just stop that. But some that come to mind, they had, speaking of Cher, they had Cher with Beavis and Butthead doing I Got You, Babe. Mm-hmm. Then there was... the cheerleader there. Paula Abdul doing Opposites Attract with MC Scat Cat. You had that. You had Elton John with The Club at the End of the Street. You had some shows like Fat Albert where they did some original there. And speaking of, now this is one of the biggest hits of 1969, Sugar Sugar, The Archies. Big, there was a cartoon series, a big hit, you know, wanting like that. Like I said, the Beatles had a series, but they had different people doing the voices, but you got to at least hear the songs. And then there were other things. Didn't, like, New Kids on the Block have their own show? I was at a con, and I think they were showing some, there was some sort of cartoon that had that.
Elton John and Minnie Mouse did a song, too.
They did a song together, yeah. And Elton John was in some Disney movie, right? Can you feel the love tonight? Anyway, so it's just to think about all these different things. But there's so much stuff out there. There's commercials, movies, TV series. There's all sorts of stuff you can buy. We're going to keep going for a little while longer. Whoever wants to stay, we're doing classic cartoons. And I just showed a bunch of clips, and you missed quite a bit of them, but I will tell you that the audio portion of this panel will be available soon at anthrocoon.com. It will be posted up at the very top, maybe tomorrow or something, so you'll get to hear what you missed. But we've been showing like old commercials, old TV theme songs and everything, a whole bunch of different things. I already played that one. Let me see. I think I got to all these things. But I can play requests if someone wants. There may be certain things on YouTube or anything that may be kind of interesting that you've never really run across. I'm just trying to think of different things, you know. Anyone got anything you want to mention about? Go ahead.
Okay. So how obscure do you get?
Very obscure. I was doing, like, I was
playing Three Stooges.
I mentioned it earlier.
Okay, you did.
I mentioned it because I mentioned about the Three Stooges with Hanna-Barbera, and they said that they at one point they did do that.
Yes.
Because Norman Maurer married Joan Howard, Mo Howard's daughter.
Okay.
So they had that. But back in the 60s, they had the show. It was Cambria Productions. You know what I mean. It was out in the 60s.
Yeah,
and it was
the 60s ones. But when I mentioned the robotic Stooges, everybody kind of looks at me cross-eyed.
Yeah, it was part of the Crowd Super Show. There was some sort of show that they had.
Yes.
Designed to be the world's most perfect electronic robot. The Robotic Stooges.
That's a premise.
And I won't play much more of it, but it just gives you an idea there. There were some oddball ones. There was one that it was called Spaghetti and Meatballs. And let's see if I can find it. Basically, it imagined like a rock band. If you can imagine Cher and Meatloaf being in a group together. And Meatballs cartoon. Yeah, Meatballs cartoon. Okay, let me see here. This might be the intro of the whole thing, but this did not last long. After the ad, you'll get to hear it. After the ad thing. Where's the intro? Oh, I want the intro. The intro's got a good song, but I'm trying to find it. Let me do intro. Let's do intro. I-N-T-R-O. Okay, let's get that. Yeah, because all these obscure things do pop up there. Here it is. I was on for 1 year. There were some things. Like, there was a Bill and Ted show at one point.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, you had that. Let's watch another ad while we're at it, okay? Oh, no. Okay, now here it is. Very brief series. Again, it's like Meatloaf and Cher form a band. That's how you could sum it up. This is early 80s on CBS, I think it was.
It's a good thing animation budgets have gone up.
I played a little bit of the Chattanooga Cats earlier. That was like a fictional rock band. Later on, Hanna-Barbera decided to do one with humans, but a feline theme. Josie and the Pussycats. That was like the following year. And where that came from, Hoyt Curtin, who did the music for them, he would have incidental music for the Jetsons. So it was like, dun, 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 Josie, the Pussycats. That's where that came from. So that was kind of interesting. But they had all these different things. All, like I say, the fictional rock bands, real rock bands. There was the Hardy Boys. There were so many, you know, like I mentioned. You had all the different shows and different things. I'm not sure if I mentioned, yeah, Fat Albert had some original songs on there. The Archies had original songs. There were hits on the charts, you know. And you had a whole bunch of different things like that. So they had all these different, what was it? Did Kid and Play have a show? I think they had one at one point. And there were a whole bunch of fads. There was a show called the CB Bears because you had CB radio. You had Rubik's the Amazing Cube. You had whatever a fad was, they capitalized on it. And they would take TV shows and do cartoon versions. There was stuff, what was it, something like Laverne and Shirley Join the Army. You had a Mork and Mindy cartoon. You had Fonz and the Happy Days Gang. I think that might have been Hanna-Barbera. And I mentioned Oddball Couple. That was officially sanctioned by Paramount. It was like, sure, go right ahead. The TV show had just gone off the air, but they put this on where you had a sloppy dog and a fastidious cat, and it was, you know, it was basically Oddball Couple. That's what it was.
It's so, like Hollywood was running out of ideas and needed to milk something.
Maybe. Go ahead. Sorry.
Did you enjoy, this leading into a second, did you yeah. enjoy King of the Hill?
I like some of it. There were certain things. The different characters and the different voices and things like that, I watched part of it. There were some shows that I watched part of. There's some that I never really got into. Never got into Bob's Burgers. I get into a little bit of American Dad, and it was like, it's Family Guy again. I don't know. But I watched a little bit of King of the Hill. We did just lose the voice of Dale Gribble there. He just did pass away.
I, too, was not someone who really got into King of the Hill, but recently, not too long ago, a singer that I really love called Sir did a song called John Redcorn.
Joe John Redcorn, yeah.
And the music video.
Cheating on what's his name's wife, right? Yeah. So, and he's unaware of it.
The video for the song
yeah.
is fully animated by the King of the Hill. Like, if you type in Sir John Redcorn, you'll see the
music. Oh, that, yeah.
The music video is done by the
animator. And they're actually, Yahoo's and Triangles. There actually is a full length version of the song. Let me just give you a little bit of it. It's by a group called The Refreshments.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this is the whole song. I may not play the whole thing, but. Why am I not hearing it? Give it a second. There it is.
Yeah.
I wish the volume would help. I guess what it was on Beavis and Butthead, they had a guy named Mr. Anderson. He had a certain voice, and that became Hank Hill. I believe that's what it was.
And Daria was on that show, too.
And Daria, they eventually spun Daria off to different people. So Mike Judge has nothing to do with Daria. I know someone in California who loves Daria. Big, huge fan of it, you know? So, yeah, King of the Hill, I think they're going to reboot it. They're going to have to find a different voice now that the guy passed away. I just forgot what his name was, but, you know, he did just pass on. So, okay, so we'll put that back there. Yeah, Fox was pretty big on putting all the cartoon shows and everything. You had The Simpsons and everything like that. In fact, when The Simpsons movie came out, they said, we want to have a contest. There's a whole bunch of different Springfields in the country. We want to find out which state should host the premiere of The Simpsons movie. Vermont got picked, okay? They're just down the river from the Vermont Yankee nuclear power plant, okay? And there were certain things, I don't know, somehow they picked it. And so when they had the premiere for the movie, they had it there. And I went back there years later, and you'd go in a store, and you'd see like a stand-up of the bartender or something like that. And like I say, that they picked it, and let me see if I can find real quick. Simpsons, Vermont. I think, what's his name there? Matt Groening was from Oregon, actually. But they never really said what state it was from. Okay.
They alluded a couple of times.
Which then confused me when they said they were banned from every state from except North Dakota.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit of it here. Wait a minute. After the ad.
Astepro. No allergy spray is faster. Steroid-free allergy relief that starts work.
It's a little town. It's right on the Connecticut. No, it's pretty near the Connecticut River, north of Brattleboro. I'm from New England, so I know that. That was just raw video. Yeah, they had another one where they interviewed people, but yeah, that just showed you there it was. And I mean, that has been on since '89, or was it late '88? I think it was '89 because they had Simpsons roasting on an open fire, which was the special.
The Christmas special came.
Oh yeah, it looks a little different, and he sounded a little bit like Walter Matthau with the voice. He sounded a little bit different like that, so it was kind of interesting. But it's been on for a very long time. I did a panel. We had a convention called Saturday Morning Contunes in Massachusetts. The first year we had 65 people. The second year we had 101, and I was doing a whole bunch of panels. I was doing the Simpsons panel, and there was like no one there. I just kept talking. There was no one in the crowd. You know what I mean? I don't know why I'm doing this. And to no surprise, they're no longer having that convention. It didn't draw. But I was doing a bunch of panels, and in some cases it wasn't too bad. But it was just doing a panel, and no one showed up. It just was when people were starting coming out of COVID, and I think they didn't want to like come out just yet. Plus, it was kind of far from Boston. You have to drive a little bit. But I still remember doing this panel about the Simpsons and everything. And showing clips or whatever. Oh, here's some clips, you know. So I don't know if I have it on this computer or not, but they did give me a bunch of clips of different things, like Two Stupid Dogs and all that kind of stuff. So there were some more recent cartoons. Maybe it's on this one. I mean, it might be in this file here. Yeah, I got Two Stupid Dogs. Okay, Gummy. Okay, yeah, this is a... was this Hanna-Barbera in their closing days? Yeah. So this is a little more recent. So when they started to wind down as a studio, they did a bunch of things. One of the last things they did was called Once Upon a Forest. And I liked it myself. It kind of bombed. I don't know what the competition was, but they had like a mole and a, what was it? They had three different little animals and everything like that, a mouse. And they all had to get something to cure this, was it a badger or something that got poisoned? And it was kind of interesting. Michael Crawford was in it. The Nostalgia Critic. Did you ever see the Nostalgia Critic? He tore it up a little bit. Oh, rheumatism and all that. Have you ever seen that? I thought it was okay. They had a song called Don't Wake Up toward the end of it like that. But that was like toward the very end of that. That movie, they had a merchandising deal with McDonald's over there. You could get these glasses and everything like that. And they tried to pitch the movie as a fun little thing. It was a depressing, sad movie. The parents get killed. The poor, please wake up and everything. You know, and it never really did catch on. But that was one of the last things that Hanna-Barbera did, you know. So anyway, but, you know, there's a lot of obscure cartoons. If you look hard enough, you will find maybe DVDs or they'll be on YouTube or something. I have a set of Inch High Private Eye that was manufactured on demand. If you ordered it, they would print out a copy, but they wouldn't print out a mass amount. And it's probably out of print by now. So some obscure things like that, an old show like that, there's certain things that they just won't put out. They don't have the rights or who knows what, but there's obscure stuff. And I mentioned before about when Jerry Beck does these things at Comic-Con in San Diego, the worst cartoons ever. Bucky and Pepito, Super President, which I played part of. And like I say, there's something called Cartoon Dump where they have TV's Frank appearing along with Joel Hodgson as Dumpster Diver Dan. And then they show these old cartoons that are just really horrible. So
Doug and Rub, the
Nostalgia Critic.
They actually enjoy when they bring something like completely that has fallen off the table.
Yeah.
They like to bring something back on and then watch as the internet, as like people who have like just snippets or videotapes of it out just sitting in their garages and whatever, and
yep,
upload it, and suddenly it gets a resurgence.
Yeah, again, I mean, they were making a big deal about how he kept saying rheumatism and all that. Like he was, oh, I have rheumatism. I mean, yeah. Oh, and there was a movie that was the Titanic movie that was very tasteless.
Yes.
And it had a rapper dog and all that. It's party time.
He was very happy to bring that to attention.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a
glove.
What up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just to give you a little... oh, come on. Not another ad. It's ridiculous. This is going to be Nostalgia Critic. We had one of the main voices of Animaniacs, Rob Paulson, at Anthrocon, and he was doing the state songs and all that sort of stuff. So
she didn't even make it out alive.
Mommy! Daddy!
Michelle!
Michael Crawford.
They had Taco Bell just before they left home.
What about waiting?
Cover your mouth.
The Mole was voiced by Benji Gregory, who was Brian on Alf. Do you remember Alf, the little 9-year-old? That was Benji Gregory, and he did the Mole here.
Apparently has passed out.
Again, what a fun movie.
Yeah.
Well, how about... this was Once Upon a Forest, 1994.
Oh, yes. Hazardous.
I am so high.
Oh, here's another show that really was a lot of fun to begin with. It was called Capital Critters. It was done by Stephen Bosco and Hanna-Barbera. And it imagined these mice and everything living in the years of the Bush White House, the first one. And it begins with his parents and his whole family being wiped out by gas. What a fun show! But it was it had a bit of a cult following. And it was almost like, let's comment on politics or whatever. Capital Critters. So, again, after Roger Rabbit, and let's do TV series. They had something called Family Dog that I think was part of, Spielberg was involved with a little bit. But and then, of course, you had the Animaniacs and Tiny Toon and things
Road
like that.
Rovers.
The Road, what did you say, Road Rovers?
Oh.
We've shown some of those at, like, FERPOC and everything. Road Rovers, it's like Hunter, the dog Hunter, lives with the President of the United States. I said, oh, Hunter Biden. Get it? Bad joke. I know. But it's like, back then it was a different, it must have been Clinton, I think. But Hunter Biden, yeah, the dog's name Hunter. It's Hunter Biden.
I've never seen this.
Yep.
And then they had
Fish Please. Yes. Bobcat Goldthwait, I think. It was he the guy I'm thinking of, one of the voices? Oh, Neil Patrick Harris was the mouse there, Max.
Oh, gosh.
Some people like Tress McNeil and everything were working on this. This was 89. This would have been Bush. In fact, they had two cats, and one of them was like Quayle's cat. The vice president, he was kind of inept and everything. So it was Bush 1 and Quayle. You know what I mean? And like I say, the cat was kind of inept, the vice president's cat. And so one of the characters is like a hippie there. I think her name might be Woodstock or something. But again, I mean, it's just...
No, damn it! Stop!
Oh, no. See, that might be... Oh, that's Max goes to Washington. But, I mean, again, that was just one of these oddball things. But sometimes they can get the rights to it and put it out on DVD or something. Or there's the wonderful little bootleg stuff. Now, there was one series that Hanna-Barbera had, The Adventures of Gulliver, in the 60s. And they never put out a whole set. And I got one because someone taped the episodes off Boomerang, and so I have the whole thing. But I think on YouTube you can find all of them. And that was a show where they had, they imagined Gulliver washing up on the beach there, and there were different characters like Eager and Bunko and Flirtatia. And the king was played by John Stevenson, okay? He played, his most famous role was probably showing up on Scooby-Doo, and I would have gotten away for it if it weren't for you meddling kids. He was also Mr. Slate, Flintstone, yes. And he'd have like a Joe Flynn type voice. He would be Mr. Finkerton on Inch High Private Eye. But anyway, he would be on a lot of shows. John Stevenson, he'd show up on Wait Till Your Father Gets Home, which was a show in the 70s that was kind of like, let's do a show almost like All in the Family, but tone it down slightly. I mean, that was, hip humor for that.
Wait Till Your Father Gets Home to My House means I was getting a whooping.
Oh yeah. Wait till your father gets home. I think he might still be alive. Jack Burns was the neighbor there, and he's like a far right winger. Was it Ralph or something? Okay, wait till your father gets home. It was, and Tom Bosley was the father, and it might have been just before Happy Days. So this was 72. It was like spun off from a Love American Style episode. After the ad, I think. What? No, I have.
No ad wanted to associate himself with this.
It's a trial. I have to be there at 10 tomorrow.
That poor boy. Daddy, how can you be so oppressive?
The older generation's answered everything. He gets a little tap on the head.
Oh, so now it's just a little tap, is it?
Tom Bosley.
Forget it, Daddy. You're just vindictive.
All right, now hold it. You see, today is Sunday. Not that I'm a religious man, but I feel on this day of worship, it would be wrong to strangle your children.
This was on, like, you know, like once a week, like 7:30 at night on Independent. It was a syndicated show. So this was like their answer maybe to All in the Family or something like that. In some ways, it almost presages this Family Guy with the daughter or something.
Wait till your father gets home.
Dad's not so bad. Mad.
There is a set of the first season. I have it. I mentioned I have a bunch of box sets. I do have the set for this.
They have their own way, and what Daddy doesn't know won't hurt him. I think my mom just will.
But she starts to yell.
Every time we have a fuss, just wait till your father gets.
This lasted about two and a half seasons, and they had people like Monty Hall and Phyllis Diller. They had like celebrity guests in doing certain voices. And then there was another show. So the same year this started, there was a show called The Barclays, done by Patty Freeling, and it was all dogs. It was an all-dog world, but it was like Archie Bunker. So it was Arnie Barclay. And Joan Gerber did the voice on this show of Irma, the wife. But she played a dog. She played Agnes on the Barclays. So the same year, she played a canine and a human housewife or whatever. Oh, how do I? Oh, just kidding. I'm having a tough time with this thing. I thought the mouse pad was supposed to help me. Oh, there it is. That noise did kind of tone down, didn't it? Okay. Just to do the theme song or something like that. The Barclays, full episode. Okay. I'm not going to do the full episode, but... Oh, come on. Not a minute and a half ad. 3, 2, 1.
Did you download?
Yep. Yes.
So I was 10 when this came out. This was 72. Henry Corden, who was the second Fred Flintstone voice.
Barclay House.
Joan Gerber.
Agnes Barclay is his devoted aunt.
So the whole world, they're all dogs. They're all different breeds of dogs. So this is definitely furry, or I would think.
Roger and Chester too.
Yeah, Gloria and Mike and whatever.
Through and through.
You know, there were episodes about, you know, should women only be housewives or should they have a career? They had an episode about that. They had other episodes, you know, about honesty. It was a different thing. It was a little toned down, but, I mean, he's a bus driver, Ralph Cramden, okay? And, of course, Ralph Cramden was an inspiration for Archie Bunker. Just about, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's all right to sneak out on Dad.
Not normally, but when he breaks your date with a nice girl so you can marry somebody you don't even know, you've got a right.
Thanks, sis. You're a real pal.
So again, it's like I say, it's, you know, toned down slightly, but spoofed of All in the Family and all that. There's another show called The Hound Cats that was kind of like this. This is pretty good. So growing up on all these shows and watching them on, you know, regular TV and then later on cable TV and things like that, it was just great. So I may keep going a little while longer. I mean, I've actually outdone my scheduled time slot, but hey, we have a pretty big crowd here. If anyone else has requests, if you want me to play something, I can do that. But the convention, actually, I believe, has had their closing ceremonies, and I, for one, am curious to find out what the attendance was. Mm-hmm. It would be kind of interesting. It's just, we've had so many great cons, and I've been glad to do this, so My next con is going to be for Apocalypse in Connecticut, and I think I'm going to put in to do classic cartoons there. I'm going to put in for Grey Muzzles at Anthro New England, but I might also put in for classic cartoons. Anthrocoon.com. If you go on there, shameless plug. I've actually put up stuff already, audio from some of the panels of this year's convention. You can hear audio of, Anthrocoon.com. You can hear audio of some of these events, and I put them up there. I've got, like, when I was over at, okay, so that's stuff, okay. I haven't put them up yet from this thing here, but for example, I have audio of my panels.
So, anyone got any on your mind? Okay. 1, 2, 3.
You hear the quality.
A new character.
That's from the Zootopia panel. I have when people were playing Pressure Luck. You know, I mean. So it's anthrocoon.com. They're not up yet, but I will put up this panel and some other ones so you can find it there. But you can see, I mean, some of the things I go to, right? We had a panel that was interesting at AC. Tofty, Fox Tales from Reynard to Robin. He is a professor at, I think it's Boston College, and he was talking about Reynard the Fox and Robin Hood and the whole thing about foxes and like that. It was a wonderful panel. I mean, look at all the stuff. That was at Anthrocon, and you see the stuff we have here. I was up at Frication Land. We had some great panels and game shows. That's Anthro New England. You know, you can see all these great things. So look for anthrocoon.com, and later on I will put up this and some other things. But this is great. So thanks, everyone, for coming out. I don't know if anyone had further questions. Go ahead. Sorry.
Last one. This is a curious one.
Yeah.
Are there any new cartoons that have caught your eye or that make you curious?
I mentioned, the ones that are online. I mentioned the Lackadaisy, the pilot, and I think they're working on a second one, and the Star Fox, the animated series. I think those are good. Some of the recent cartoons in the past couple of years, there were some that are all right. I mentioned the one that was a spoof. Of authorized spoof for Blazing Saddles, Paws of Fury, The Legend of Hank, which even does have Mel Brooks in it.
I would recommend The Owl House.
A new series, you mean?
And Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't even get into some of the things that are on, like, public TV. Some of the George Shrinks, Timothy Goes to School. What were some of the other ones in the recent years? They had the Bookworm Bunch. Do you remember that? Yeah.
You mentioned it's an independent animation. No Evil?
I don't know that one, no.
She's doing it by herself, so it takes a long while. It started as a bunch of music, taking a song and animating something around it, and the main characters are Anthro.
And they are Anthro, okay.
No,
I see something here that says No Evil on YouTube, if that's it, maybe.
Yep, No Evil.
I'm having trouble getting this. I don't know if it's my vision or whatever. There it is.
Yeah,
okay, I'm trying to see the icon. So let's see. That's the one?
Yeah.
Just give people an idea, right. I guess. Let's see.
If they start with, this is, it's Fox the Great. They'll eventually see that some are musical, some that are not.
Yep.
Yeah, Fox the Grapes.
I'm trying to remember. I think it was for Apocalypse. We had a panel of people like this doing original animation, and they were showing some clips, and it was pretty good, some of it. That was at Furpoc last October.
It's still going on. There's one episode where she has, she's singing, and a couple other people are singing, and they're doing a rendition of Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold Me Down, and I'm Going Home.
Yes.
Combining them together in this whole thing.
So we're going to have to remember No Evil, but just to give you Lackadaisy,
yes.
The pilot, yep. Where is it? That's the fundraiser, pilot. I was showing parts of it. Well, I mean, where is it?
You have on.
Right. Get a hell of a boss.
You know who's voicing one of the cats? Malcolm from Nostalgia Critic.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, he voices the...
I like the cat... Oh, no, they're all cats, but Mordecai Heller. I like him. He is 5'10", and he's asexual, just like me on both counts. That, supposedly. Oh, that's Wick. He's originally from Boston. Wick. Sedgwick.
The voice actor for Mordecai is a YouTuber named Rosie.
Yep.
Upstanding citizen, you know?
He said
And this is like St. Louis 100 years ago, Prohibition, and they're all rum runners and things like that. Again, it's Lackadaisy Cats, based on the comic by Tracy Butler, who, again, I'm from Boston, I got to say it, she's from Boston, Tracy Butler. So, but this is great stuff, and the music is something called electro swing, which is like the old music from the 20s with electronic music. And it kind of sounds like this. Well, I'll go further up. Oh, that's the post thing.
Boston or Boston?
Boston. We say Boston. Listen. Crowdfunded. And again, there's going to be a second, you know.
5 episodes in 3 minutes.
Yes. Yeah.
But great characters and all that. Yes. Wick Sable, so Sable Corey. And again, A Fox in Space, kind of interesting. Mostly done by one guy. He got a little help this time. So A Fox in Space, number one and number two are both good. But no, this is just really good. And, I, you know, in each case, when it premiered, I wanted to watch it as soon as it came out. So there's that. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of different things. I did see certain things, like another one that was recent, and I have the video, is Clifford the Big Red Dog, where they mixed live action and animation, and John Cleese was in it and things like that. It was pretty good. There have been a couple of different Cliffords. There was one with John Ritter, you know, the series. So John Ritter did the voice there, and then there was an earlier series. So I don't know, I can't keep them all straight. But it was kind of interesting, but Clifford was not too bad. So within the past recent years, there have been some different things, you know. And then, as I mentioned, of course, if you've got Disney Plus, you've got Zootopia Plus. I thought that was great. I binge-watched it. And everyone's going, oh, it's going to be 6 episodes. They're all like 6-7 minutes long. You can binge-watch it all at once, which is what I did. You know, I looked close, because in the first one, oh, there's Gideon. He's in the truck. He almost hit, you know. By the way, interesting little bit of trivia. If you saw the movie Downsizing, where Matt Damon volunteers to be shrunk to 5 inches tall. He goes into something called Leisureland, which is a scaled downtown, and he's being given a ride, like a tour of the place. Don Lake is the guy giving him the ride. That's the voice of Stu Hopps. So I'm getting, oh yeah, there's Stu Hopps. He's been shrunk down, and plus he's a human too. So some of the other people that were in Zootopia, J.K. Simmons has been doing commercials for things like Farmers Insurance, and then Octavia Spencer. She was Mrs. Otterton. She was in one of the Bad Santa movies playing a prostitute who introduces Herman Merman to sex or something. So, yeah. And also, who was... J.K. Simmons played a voice... I don't know if you ever saw the Rock Dog movies. I've seen the first two. He is the father of Bodie on Rock Dog. And, okay, so there's Rock Dog and Rock Dog 2, Rock Dog 3. And they all have original songs. And the one that's in the first one is called Glorious. The second one is called Horizon. And I thought they were pretty good. It was a Chinese... Rock Dog, Glorious. It was done in China, but I thought it was kind of interesting. Glorious is just the... So I don't have the third one yet. The third one is video only. And there is a bit of a fandom for Rock Dog. That's Angus Scattergood, voiced by Eddie Izzard. And he's out of a British rock star. And again, if you're my age, you'll get a kick out of the fact there's a character named Fleetwood Yaks. Fleetwood Mac, yeah. Yeah, that's the father right there. I thought this was pretty good. Yeah, like I say, I mean, well, it came out, it did okay. At AnthroCon, when we had the virtual con, a guy named, I think his name is Graham Hamilton, he did the voice of Bodie in the second one. So we had something going where you go online and you could chat, and we had a panel about voice acting, and he was doing it. And I said, oh, hi, I've seen the first two or something. Oh, yeah, so, you know. So he was taking part of that. So I think it was 2017, might have been the first one. Oh, I was just thinking, you have Sing and you have Sing 2. Those are both good. I like those. Sing 2 was good. Yeah, they're both okay. There was one I thought that wasn't too bad. It was called Planet 51. was it The Rock or someone did the voice of the astronaut. This Earth astronaut lands on a planet of, you know, people. Well, they're aliens to us, but they look a little different. And it's like, oh my God, everyone's going to freak out when they see him. Oh, we got to get him back to his rocket so we can get back to Earth. You know, I thought it was okay. It was called Planet 51. I saw that online.
The end joke in that was the general.
Yeah.
The alien general, voiced by William Shatner.
Yep. Shatner was part of a movie about a raccoon there, Over the Hedge. He was the possum there. I got to see that movie. I think I've got it actually. And so he was in that and all that sort of stuff. And then real quick, because I really want to mention this movie, Paws of Fury. I thought this was pretty good.
They went through development hell, and then they tried advertising it, and it was still a bust.
Yo, what's up? It's me, Samuel L. Jackson. I play a samurai cat in the new animated theatrical film, Paws of Fury, The Legend of Hank.
Meow. Royale with cheese.
That means roll it.
Did this go up against a Kung Fu Panda movie?
It might have, I don't know.
Yeah, that's why.
Came out about 2 years ago. Michael Cera, I think, was the voice. And like I mentioned, you have George Takei.
Sounds like you need a mentor.
Perhaps a once great samurai who has fallen on hard times, and he maybe could use some help himself. So where can I find one?
What did it go against?
I don't know, but it was kind of money-wise.
Don't believe everything you read.
Mr. Hanks, you have to do something.
You're under arrest.
You wanted to be a samurai. Fun, isn't it? Go get him. Oh my.
I've got to make this samurai thing work. Hey, this is the training montage, isn't it?
Sometimes you need a friend.
No.
Good to see you win.
Don't forget to land on your...
Cats always land on their feet. Yeah, Michael Cera, Ricky Gervais, yeah. Mel Brooks, George Takei. Send a tweet, yeah.
Who knew that human army could go through so many beans?
That's what sold the movie to me. When I saw that, I said, I've got to see this movie. That joke right there.
Finish this.
This might take a while.
Yeah, George Takei, I've been part of a college radio station near Boston since 81. I literally have been on doing shows. And I don't know, a couple decades ago, George Takei came down to speak. So they said, let's get him down to the radio station. So we had him do station IDs. So he gets on there and he goes, and it's WMWM, 91.7, FM. And he starts laughing. He says, FM, WMWM, right? And so the two that he did was, one of them was, when the Enterprise is over Salem, the captain orders Uhura to open the hailing frequencies to 91.7 FM, WMWM. It's life, Captain, but not as we know it. So we have him do that as a station ID. That was great. I got to interview Graham Chapman back in 82. Of course, he passed away. You know, Graham Chapman from Monty Python and things like that. He came down there, and I talked to him and everything like that. So it's kind of interesting. But just thinking about, like, George Takei and all that, it's great when these people can get into the movies. You know, hey, what celebrity is in one movie, you know? Does anyone else want to mention some of these things? Is there anything coming up that people are looking forward to?
This is a minor thing. There's an independent animator I know. They call themselves Jazz Light. They do animate everything by themselves, and they've done some they're rough, but they're very well done and voice acted rough furry animations. Like, he has this one called Kill Wolfie about this wolf and this sheep, that are going out, and everyone doesn't like them going out, which is kind of more allegory.
Yeah.
Another one called Dumpster Fire, about this poly couple of a skunk, possum, and raccoon who are all going out and then moving to the neighborhood, and everyone thinks they're, you know, trash animals.
Mm.
And another one, a final one that I know called Night Walk.
Do we have to wrap it up now?
The room is okay. I really just need to get the projector and stuff.
Okay, you know what? I will at least start to shut things down. We can keep talking, but I'll start shutting things down, so we'll unplug and everything. Yeah, keep going. Sorry about that.
Nightwalk is about an animator. He's a literal animator who animates for a living.
Uh-huh.
He's also a werewolf, and a new werewolf moves in, and they start going out. And
yep.
They will have to struggle with, you know, living in a very expensive city. And they're all very furry, and they're still rough animation, but they're very, very well done. They're very well done.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank everyone for coming here. Like I say, I'm hoping to do this at Fropocalypse, and I do it at other things, but this is my second or third, I lose track, year doing this at Furrydelphia. Maybe my third, yeah. But so much fun. I really appreciate it. Thanks, everyone. Thank you.
Sorry.
No problem.